This evening, we are going to begin a new series on Proverbs and statements of wisdom that can be found in that book. But before we look at the nuggets of wisdom that Proverbs offers, I want to begin looking at Proverbs chapter 1, which shares the foundation for wisdom, the necessary thing that we must do if we are to have wisdom. It may surprise you what the key thing is that separates the foolish from the wise. What do you think separates the foolish from the wise? Is it education? Is it genetics? Is it experience? Is it age? Is it environment? The answer may surprise you. There are two things, both closely related, that separate the wise from the foolish, and it has to do with the fear of the Lord and our turning away from our sin toward Him in repentance. Those two things, fearing the Lord and turning in repentance at His reproof, are what separate the wise from the fool. Let's read through Proverbs chapter 1, but begin with a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you for Proverbs, a book written to help us to know wisdom and to practice wisdom. Lord, I pray that these words would be received from the fear of the Lord, and that those listening in would be moved through their fear of you, through their desire to please you, to be on your side, that they would do what you say. And Lord, I pray that you would stir up in us by your Holy Spirit just a great view of you, God. May we not view you as small, but may we keep in mind the things we heard in earlier devotionals about your magnificence, your greatness, how infinitely powerful you are. And Lord, may these things cause us to fear you so that we might walk in wisdom. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Proverbs was written by Solomon, famously the wisest person who ever lived. The Lord once came to Solomon and told Solomon that he would give to him any one thing that Solomon asked for. And Solomon, being one who feared the Lord, asked for wisdom. The Lord gave wisdom to Solomon, plus long life as a bonus, because he was so pleased with Solomon's request. And Solomon, as the wisest person who ever lived, set out to write a book of wisdom that still today is wise. Wisdom is timeless. What was wise during the days of Solomon is still wise today, because it comes from the fear of the Lord and the Lord's instruction. Proverbs was written, it says, to help people know wisdom, instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, and on. And the wisest man who ever lived wrote the book. Worth reading. Many will read a proverb a day as a regular practice to help them live a wise life. Because Solomon was a king, and because he, in part, wrote it for his son's instruction, an emphasis on Proverbs is upon leading well. It talks about things like wise dealing, righteousness, justice, equity. Terms, particular interest to a ruler. But we should all deal wisely, righteously, justly, and in fairness, that's what equity is, in fairness with others. But a ruler must do this all the more and runs into circumstances that are very hard and call for deep wisdom. So Solomon, wanting his son to become a wise king, shared these words with him. Solomon, as a ruler, once encountered this situation. You might have heard about it before. There were two women who were having a dispute about who was the mother of a child. Two women came to him, and they were both claiming that one baby was theirs and not the other's. Now, obviously, a baby cannot have two mothers, so one of them must be lying. But how can you know? Especially when in their culture, everyone had dark brown hair and dark brown eyes. You couldn't just tell by looking at one or the other whose baby this belonged to. So Solomon did something surprising that at first seems the opposite of wisdom, but he had a plan. He said, let's cut the baby in half and let each mother have half a baby, and we will settle the argument that way. Well, the false mother wanted the child only because she was jealous of the other mother. See, the false mother had in the night rolled over top of her own child while she was sleeping and smothered that child, and was very saddened and grieved by that and bitter toward her neighbor who had a healthy child. And so she stole the child and claimed it for her own. So this mother just wanted the child out of jealousy and sorrow and bitterness, not because of love for that child. And so the other woman, who was the real mother of the child, loved the child as a true mother should. So when she heard this horrible thing that Solomon suggested, she said, no, let the other woman have the child, because she loved the child too much to see this horrible thing occur to the child. Well, in this way, Solomon was able to deduce who the true mother was, the one who had actual motherly love for the child. And so he never intended to cut the baby in half. He gave the baby to the mother, who would rather someone else have the child than to see the child die. In this situation, Solomon dealt wisely. The true mother got her child. Leaders can face all kinds of difficult situations, and that's the sort of stuff that Solomon had to face. But everyone else has to make difficult decisions too. And Proverbs was written to help you and I to have wisdom when we face life's difficult decisions. And feels like every month, maybe even every week, maybe every day for some people, we can face some difficult decision that calls us to cry out to the Lord that we need wisdom to know what to do and how to do it right. That's why Proverbs is written. Parents can have difficult decisions to make. Kind of a little bit similar to this. Have you or one of your brothers, or maybe thinking of one of your children, ever done something like this? One child goes and says to the parents, Mom, he hit me. And then the other child comes and says, no, he hit me. But neither of the parents were there. What do you do? Both children are claiming that they were struck by the other child. None of the parents were there. What can you do? How can you determine what is true? Proverbs, it doesn't directly say this is what you do in that situation, but it equips us with fear of the Lord, wisdom, discernment that can help us to address a situation like that. Then in verse 7, this is one of the most important verses in Proverbs, because it tells us what we have to have if we are to gain this benefit that Proverbs is bringing to us. And it is this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is not just an important verse in Proverbs, but an important verse for the whole Bible. It teaches us where the paths to foolishness and wisdom begin, and they begin at how one views the Lord, as whether he is one worthy of fear, that you do fear, or one who is to be dismissed as unworthy of fear. The gist of the verse is that when you fear the Lord, you have the beginning of wisdom and instruction and are walking now on that path, moving forward. When you don't fear the Lord, then the result will be that you will despise wisdom and instruction. So wisdom, then, the key difference between somebody who is foolish and somebody who is wise has everything to do with how they view God and what their relationship with Him is like. Do you fear the Lord? Do you want to please the Lord? Do you fear His displeasure? Do you fear His discipline? If you do, you have the necessary groundwork to grow in wisdom. If you look at the Lord and say, who is the Lord that I should fear Him? Who is the Lord that I should care about His commandments? The Lord never did anything to me. Then reading through Proverbs is not going to benefit you in wisdom, because your reaction to it will be, if that's what the Lord says, I don't care. So naturally, you're not going to grow in wisdom. In the Bible, a wise person is, by definition, one who does what the Lord says is right and true. Wisdom is doing what the Lord has defined as what is right and true. Not what society, not what friends, not what family say is right and true, but the Lord. A foolish person does not believe and do what the Lord says is right. And so, Proverbs is not a book that is designed to help you with algebra or chemistry or geometry or geography, though wisdom can and does have some application into that, as it the wise commit themselves to study and learning to increase their ability to serve God and benefit society. It applies to that on the side, but it doesn't directly, because wisdom is not about those things. Wisdom is about how you respond to the Lord. So it's like this, on verse 7 again. Imagine if I were to tell you that Thomas Blake of North Dakota thinks you ought to do something. I say, Thomas Blake of North Dakota thinks you should invest in Arby's. Thomas Blake thinks you should get into stamp collecting. Thomas Blake thinks you should pursue a college degree in diaper engineering and on. I can imagine you would hear this, and you will think and say, well, who is Thomas Blake of North Dakota that I should listen to him and what he tells me I ought to do? I've never met him. I never saw him. In fact, I think he's just some name you've made up to make an illustration, Aaron. And you would be right. You'd get pretty tired pretty quickly of hearing me say Thomas Blake of North Dakota believes that you should do this, and you would therefore despise his wisdom and instruction. In the same way, if someone doesn't fear the Lord, doesn't believe in Him, doesn't trust Him, doesn't think He is worthy of fear or might or anything like that, then Proverbs isn't going to do them much good. For Proverbs to produce wisdom in a person's life, they must believe that the Lord is real, they must believe that He is worthy of fear, and they must themselves fear Him. They must care what He says. Finally, this verse is important because the world doesn't teach this. The world teaches that other things contribute to wisdom. The world teaches that if you get enough instruction and learning, if you get enough degrees and good enough grades, then you will have wisdom. Or it might teach that genetics is the key to wisdom, that some people just are going to have it because they had the right genes, and they just naturally have a higher talent because their IQ is higher. Or some will teach that by experience is wisdom gained. And so those who have been more places, seen more things, done more things, or had more age are, by definition, wiser than those who are younger than they are. Sure, instruction, experience, these things do contribute to wisdom, but if you don't fear the Lord, then the filter through which you bring all that education, all that experience, is corrupted and turned away from what is true and right and just. You must fear the Lord to really and truly have wisdom. Another thing that society says is that you need to follow your heart, that Obedience to the emotions and inclinations of your heart is what it means to be wise. The message of so many Disney movies, which otherwise are entertaining and lighthearted, the core message of so many Disney movies is that you should follow your heart. And that teaching is flawed, because the Bible says that the heart of man is corrupt. We should not follow our heart, we should follow the Lord who we fear. I think this is why we see a lot of people in the world doing dumb things, honestly, is because rather than fearing the Lord, everything the Lord says is true and just and wise, rather than fearing that and following that, they follow their heart, they follow their education, they follow their experience or some other leader in their lives. And then they end up in a mess. A lot of people don't fear the Lord, so they despise his wisdom and instruction, and in consequence, they become fools and their life goes badly for it. And no amount of instruction will help unless someone fears the Lord. So in verses 8 to 19, Solomon now gives a practical illustration of what a fool looks like. And they are ones who have despised wisdom instruction. They are ones who do not fear the Lord, who do not consider the Lord's ability to punish and discipline those who are against him. Let's read. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. So here's a practical illustration of fools, people who don't fear the Lord. Their mode of operation is not, what does the Lord say is true? What does the Lord say is right? I want to follow that because if I spurn him, he can bring punishment and discipline to me. But if I align myself rightly to him, he can bless my ways. They aren't thinking about that at all. They are thinking about what is going to get me wealthy. And let's do it together as a big group, because in a big group, there's power. If we just assemble with this plan, we will accomplish our deeds that enrich us personally. We don't care about if it hurts other people, because we don't care that the Lord says you ought not to do that. And we do not believe that the Lord is watching. This is foolishness. This is verse 7 in a nutshell. People despising wisdom and instruction, not fearing the Lord. When Proverbs says, in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood, they set an ambush for their own lives, what he's talking about is that God sees all, and God knows all. And they're laying a trap out for someone. They are imagining that no one will see this. Just as it would be foolish to lay a trap out in the sight of the bird isn't going to come into it. So they are thinking, there's nobody watching, there's nobody seeing, but actually there is somebody who's watching them lay out this trap, and that somebody who is watching is God. And God will bring judgment upon them for their wicked deeds in his time. Verse 20 to 33 give us one more key to wisdom, and when we get to the fear of the Lord and this one other thing, we have the foundation for growing in wisdom and the ability to receive the insight that Proverbs will instruct us in. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despise all of my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Key verse in this section is verse 23. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. This reveals that repentance leads to growth in wisdom. Wisdom is actually a gift from God. God is the one who possesses all wisdom, and he gives to those who ask him. But he does place conditions upon that. One we read in James, which is that we must ask for wisdom in faith, and one who fears the Lord, or has faith, must also fear the Lord. So the other, with faith, is that we have a habit of turning it reproof. If God gives us wisdom and brings to us this truth, but we do not respond to it, we do not repent, we do not return, but we reject, then we move ourselves onto the path of foolishness rather than the path of wisdom. And as we reject God's wisdom and reject God's truth, we set ourselves in a way that will result ultimately in disaster and no help or recourse in that disaster. The voice of wisdom says that for those who have rejected wisdom in the past, who have not repented when wisdom has spoken, they will cry out in their calamity, but they won't have wisdom to address it because they've rejected it. God's word is equipped and shared what is necessary to decide what is right and wise to do in different situations. But if an individual says, I don't care about the Lord, I don't want to know what he has to say, I don't think what he says is true or right, and then these individuals, when they face disaster, simply will not know what to do. They'll try to do it maybe based on their education or their instruction or what their friends would do or what their feelings would tell them to do. And it's always what is best and right is what the Lord says we ought to do. So we're going to be going through Proverbs while we're still doing Wednesday devotionals together. And I don't know how long we will be. But as we do, we're going to go through Proverbs some and look at the things that Proverbs has to share. But we need to remember that if we personally do not have fear of the Lord in our life, then if we want wisdom, we need to address that first. We also need to remember if there's something in our life that we're not repenting of, some sin that the Lord has brought to our attention and we're not turning God's reproof, then we do not continue to grow in wisdom. Growth in wisdom is dependent upon one's fear of the Lord, turning at his reproof, and faith in the Lord. So let's evaluate ourselves. Let's correct anything that is awry in this area so that as we go through God's book of wisdom, we can reap from it all the fruits that it would have to offer to help us guide through life in a wise and just and equitous way. Let's pray. Dear God, our prayer is indeed that you help us to fear you, to turn at your reproof. Lord, we recognize that you are great, powerful, almighty, and worthy of our fear and worthy of our following and obeying you. Lord, we recognize that because you are omniscient, because you know everything, because you are omnipresent, everywhere present, because you are all-powerful, everything that you say is true and right and best. And so, Lord, whatever the inclinations of our heart might say, whatever our education might say, whatever our experience might say, we must line it up against what your word says. And if your word says otherwise, we must accept your word and trust you and follow you. This will help us to be wise and pleasing in your sight. Lord, if there's anything in our lives that we are doing that is not pleasing to you and we are aware of it, then Lord, we need to repent. And my prayer, Lord, is for anybody here who might be listening, that if there's something they need to repent of, that they would, because we want wisdom. We don't want to be foolish, and we want to please you because you are worthy of fear. Lord, we love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.